This morning, I want to speak to us about having spiritual eyes. Now, we all have eyes. Some are better than others. Some are prettier than others. Some see better. Some don't see very good at all. But we all have them. Okay? But here's the trick. Those physical eyes that we have, they can't see everything. And some of you are sitting out there and saying, I can't see anything. But even 20/20 vision or 20/15 vision, the best vision that you could get physically, you still can't see everything there is to see. So how do we get there? How do we understand that we have spiritual eyes, that we can see things that we can't really see? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 18 of Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we fix our eyes on the things that are unseen. You can't do that with your physical eyes. If you could see it, you could focus on it. If you can't see it, you can't focus on it. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. So we have to use something other than these eyes. We have to use spiritual eyes. We can get spiritualized by using spiritual eyes. That's somebody, y'all can write that down and tweet that and give me credit for that. That's cool. I just made that up. How many of you believe that there are forces at work around us that we cannot see? Yeah, yeah. Some of you are under that attack this morning. Some of you have been under attack all week. Some of you have seemed like you just can't catch a break and you're just living under that attack. But there are spiritual forces that really are physical forces. They're just not physical in ways that we can understand and grasp, but they're very real. How many of you believe that there are holy forces working on your behalf? They're invisible. There are evil forces working against us, and there are holy forces working for our good. But they're all invisible to the naked eye. We need to have spiritual eyes to recognize that we're not in this thing alone, and that we are on the winning side. We need to believe that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Okay? I want to give you just a short story here out of the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 15 and following. We have the story. I believe it was on a Sunday night, maybe a Wednesday night. I can't remember exactly when it was, but I spoke on Elisha. I get the two mixed up quite frequently. Elisha. They were working, and the axe head flew off this one worker's axe, and it fell in the river, and he cried out, oh no! And he called to Elisha, come help me! And Elisha came and cut down a stick and threw it in the river, and the axe head floated to the top of the river and reached over, and he said, now grab it and put it on and get back to work. No more excuses for you. That's kind of extra. That's not in the scripture. But right after that, Just a few verses after that, we get to this passage. Well, see, let me give you a little background first. See, Elisha, he had this God-given unique ability that he could hear the rumblings of kings in distant countries planning and scheming against Israel. And he could go and relay those plans before they ever occurred, and they would know how to avoid them or defeat them or whatever. And just time and time again, these nations, they were just frustrated. So here we are with this passage, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 and following. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. The prophet is Elisha. And he said, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Okay? Outnumbered and about to die, Gehazi, who is that's the name of the servant. Elisha is there, and he has his servant Gehazi. It's just the two of them there. And they're outnumbered. He looks out, and he sees, oh, my goodness, an army surrounding them. You see, word had got out that this is where Elisha is the one who's foiling all of our plans, and here's where he's located. And so the king of Aram sent an army to go just specifically for Elisha. And sure enough, they wake up. Gehazi looks out and goes, holy cow. Great Scott, Batman. We're in trouble. Or whatever he said, I don't know. But he said, we're in a tight spot. Elisha said, chillax, bro. You know, that's a new modern rendition of what he said. He basically said, don't worry about it. You need to relax. Take heart. Be comforted. Whatever he said, you're not seeing everything that's out there. Lord, open his eyes so that he can see. And sure enough, when he was able to look out there, he saw what was another army surrounding that army. Elisha, he was, like I said, he was given the ability to know beforehand what the enemies of Israel were planning. But it also made him a very prime target. Okay? Made him a prime target. But he wasn't alone, because it also made those close to him prime targets also. Did you know that sometimes the attacks of the enemy can cause collateral damage? Did you know that if you're a Gehazi with some Elijah somewhere and somebody's coming after Elisha, did you know that you can also be in harm's way? If you are an Elisha and the enemy's attacking you, did you know that sometimes those around you can get injured and damaged and hurt? Yeah. It's not only you, but those who are close to you sometimes. That morning, Gehazi opened the door and he saw that they were surrounded. Soldiers as far as the eye could see. Physical eye. Calm, cool, collected old Elisha. He came when Gehazi cried out and said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He basically said, relax. Take a chill pill. Bring it down a notch, Gehazi. It's not all as it appears. Now you have to understand that Gehazi, being with Elisha, has surely seen some great and mighty things in his time with Elisha. Okay? But this took it to a whole nother level. I mean, never before was his life in such grave danger and immediate impending doom faced him as this time right now. And he was like, Elisha, it's been a great run. We've seen some great and awesome, mighty things, but this is probably just too much. We're going to go out with a blaze of glory or whatever, but I enjoyed my time with you. It was good, and God is still good, you know. But he just couldn't see. He must have, when he told him, he said, there are more that are with us than with him. Gehazi must have done a quick recount and thought, okay, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 out there. Then I've got Elisha and Gehazi and, well, there's Elisha and there's Gehazi and then there's, dude, you're not very good at math, are you? You know, he's like, this guy's lost it. He's out of his mind. That or his math skills really stink. Because there are not more with us than are with them. They're a great army out there. Elijah, he could see the look on Gehazi's face. Oh, and he prayed that his eyes might be opened so that he could see. Gehazi looked once more. And he saw an even larger army surrounding the army of Aram that was out there. But they were not just regular soldiers either. Okay? These dudes were on fire. And they had some serious weaponry. Do you think Gehazi felt any different after taking that second look than he did after first seeing the enemy? Do you think he did? Do you think he looked out there and went, you know, the first time he looks out there and goes, it's not good for us. Elisha, what are we going to do? Lord, open his eyes. Take a look again. What do you think he thought that time? Not good for them. God is on our side. I see now that it's not so bad for me. Okay? Here's the most important part of the story. Those flaming warriors that surrounded the army of Aram, they didn't just show up when Gehazi's eyes were opened. They were there the whole time. He just couldn't see them. The situation did not change, but his understanding of the situation changed drastically. If you were to stand in the middle of downtown Houston on some clear night, go down there to where all the tall buildings are or whatever, and you look up in the sky on a clear, cloudless night, and look up at the sky, what are you going to see? A whole bunch of backlight and maybe a few bright stars shining every once in a while, okay? But it's hard to see the stars because of all the light. Well, if you go out to where I was born and raised out in Fort Stockton, because I used to do this at night, my brother and I, we would take out this, we had this storage house that was back there and had everybody else's junk in it. Well, there was all these beds and mattresses were stacked up this high. And my brother Wayne and I, we'd go out there and we'd get one of those old metal frames. And we'd bring it out, we'd set it in the yard. We lived out in the country. And we'd set up in the yard, and then we'd go get about six of those box springs and mattresses, and we'd stack them all up, get about bed about this high, and we'd get about some of my grandmother's old quilts. We'd get about five or six of those. We'd get out there, and we'd sleep out in the yard on this bright, sky-lit, clear sky, and we'd lay there, and we'd look at the stars. Well, let me tell you something. Out in Fort Stockton, in the middle of the night, on a cloudless, clear night, you can see, it's just unbelievable, the stars. Not only can you see the stars, but you can identify the Milky Way, you know, because it's brighter, and you got these, the constellations, you can pick out the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, and if you know the other constellations, you can probably find those. I didn't know those. I was just proud that I could find the Big Dipper. But you could see all these stars out there, and it's different than if you're in downtown Houston. Are those stars not over the Houston sky? Of course they are. But what about in the daytime? If you were to walk outside right now and look up, how many stars would you see out there right now? You would see one star, that's what we call the sun. But other than that, you wouldn't be able to see any other stars. Is that because they're not there? No, they're there. We just can't see them. But do we know they're there? Yes, we know they're there. You can't see them because of what's called light pollution. Okay? There's something in the atmosphere that keeps you from seeing what's really there. Oftentimes in the night sky, like downtown Houston, all the street lights, the city lights, all that, create such a pollution in the air. And I'm not talking about, our Houston air is polluted, but I'm talking about a different type. It's called light pollution. You can't get past that to see beyond. But they're there. So what is it that keeps us from seeing the spiritual things? That we said we know are there. When I took a survey at the beginning of the sermon, I said, how many of you believe there are forces at work, there are things out there that we just can't see? And most of you raised your hand or at least agreed that yes, that's there. We can't see it. Why can we not see it? What is it that keeps us from seeing those things? Well, when we think about physical eyes and what keeps us from seeing, it's often things like cataracts, macular degeneration, corneal problems, astigmatism, whatever. Sometimes it's not something with our eyes. Sometimes it's just pollution and haze and that kind of stuff, light pollution. But spiritually speaking, what am I really talking about? What is it that keeps us from seeing the spiritual things? And I have to say, I believe one of those things, one of the biggest problems, is sin. Disbelief. Things like selfishness, pride, lust, prejudice. Those things which cloud our vision. We say, I want to have this deep relationship with God, and I want to know His power in my life, but I also want to hold on to this bitterness because that person is really just undeserving of my forgiveness. Okay? Pollution. Cloudy vision. I want to understand the Scriptures, but I also like to read those steamy novels at night. Cloudy skies. I want to know God's will for my life, but I also want to live my life in a way so that I have every pleasure available to me. Cloudy skies again. I want to be strong and mighty, but I'm so scared. Until you clear the air of the pollution that obscures your visual, your spiritual vision, you'll never experience all that God wants you to see, do, feel, know, and even overcome. Sometimes I was talking with somebody earlier this morning. Sometimes, have you ever heard the expression, and maybe you've used it, and maybe you've experienced it, you get so angry sometimes you see red. You hear people talk about that, oh, I just saw red, as if to say, I couldn't make sense of the situation. All I could see was rage, and I was mad and angry, right? You can't see past that haze of red. You can't get past that. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Those things which cloud our vision, those things which occur, and we get so focused on this, what's right in front of us, we can't see what's beyond. And it's because we're so focused on this life. We're so focused on the things around me and to me and about me and my family. We're so focused. I'm not saying you shouldn't put attention on those things and focus on those things, but sometimes you've got to get distance vision. You've got to put on some corrective lenses or something to see past those things, because all these things are temporary. We need to be able to see the things that are eternal. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." See, we're battling forces that we can't physically see. But how are you going to fight if you can't spiritually see? Just like Elisha and Gehazi, the battle is real. But you're not alone. And you can win. We just have to desire to see things as God sees them, not as we see them. So my prayer for us is that what Elisha prayed, "Lord, open our eyes so that we might see." I read a story this week in doing my research for this topic. And it's a great illustration. It says, at many amusement parks and museums, they have these 3D movies. When you walk into the theater, you receive a pair of glasses. If you try to watch the movie without the glasses, you see a distorted picture. No matter how hard you strain and look and twist to try to make sense of what's happening on the screen, there is still a distortion because of the dimension through which you're looking. By handing you a pair of glasses when you walk into the theater, they give you the tool you need to see the screen without distortion. One of the problems many of us face is that we have a distorted view. We see what we see, but we don't see all that there is to be seen. If all you look and see is the physical, visible scenario, then you're looking at your situation without your glasses. We need to have a divine frame of reference in order to see what is really going on. So my question to you today is, what is it that clouds your vision today? What is it that's keeping you from understanding and seeing the spiritual things that God really wants us to see and understand? In John chapter 9, Jesus healed a blind man. He made some mud. He spit in the ground. Remember I preached about that one time? How'd you like to be blind? Know you're about to get healed and then hear this. You know, I'm not sure what was going on there, but he made some mud, put it on his eyes, and then he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. You see, Jesus applied the mud, made the mud, applied the mud, but then there was something the man had to do also. He had to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and when he did, he could see. So are you willing, first, to allow Christ to apply the mud? And then second, are you willing to go wash? Because there's a responsibility that we have to gain that spiritual vision also. Almost every time Jesus healed someone, they had to go and act in faith so that they had to act in faith so that they could be healed. Okay? Examples? When Jesus and Peter did this too, but he told people, rise and walk. Well, before they could walk, they had to stand up, checking the legs out, right? Okay? He would tell people to return to your house. You know, your daughter's dead. Return to your house. Go back. And she's alive. She's made well. He had to turn and go back instead of staying there pleading, no, seriously, really, please. He had to go back home, okay? Go wash. Take up your mat. Or how about this one? The lepers. Go show yourself to the priest. Those lepers, when he cleansed them, they weren't just white with leprosy and then all of a sudden clear. He said, all right, you lepers with the leprosy I see, go show yourself to the priest. They had to go to the priest. And the scripture says that as they were going, they became healed. They had to do something. Folks, you and I have to do something too. What is it for you? What is it that God is requiring of you so that you may be healed, so that your spiritual eyes may be opened up? What is your response to what Christ is doing in your life? My prayer is that you would allow the healing to be made complete by being obedient to Him. The things of the spiritual nature are very, very real. There really are. The passage I read to you about the dark forces, and our battle is not against flesh and blood. Folks, that's a real battle. How many of you know, because you've been in that battle and you struggle with that and you've been fighting it, and sometimes you're losing more than you're winning? Yeah. And is it real? Absolutely it's real. Wouldn't you like to be able to face that enemy head on? Seeing what's there? Wouldn't you like to be able to look around you like Gehazi did and go, we're not alone. We got some good company. You have good company. And you're not alone. Wouldn't you like to see it? Wouldn't you like to see it? Wouldn't you like to believe it so much? And sometimes the only way we can get that is by having the scales removed from our eyes. I'm not talking about your physical eyes, because there's things you'll never be able to see physically. But you can know it's there because you can see it spiritually. But just like our physical eyes, sometimes there are issues. We need to get spiritual LASIK surgery sometimes, I think. Yeah. Right? Get some glasses. Do whatever. Whatever it takes for you. See, not every eye problem is the same. Not every eye. When I look out, I see people with glasses, and I can guarantee you that probably none of your issues are like anybody else in the room. They're unique. The same is true spiritually speaking. We're all in different spots. We're all in different circumstances. What is it about you and in your life that is keeping you from seeing clearly? Is it sin? Is it disbelief? Is it lust? Is it selfishness? Is it bitterness? Is it pride? What is that? I don't know. I don't know in your life, but probably you do. And if you don't, if you'll ask the Lord, He'll tell you. If you listen. My encouragement to you today would be to whatever that is in your life, be shed of it today. Get rid of it today. Turn it loose. Walk out of here seeing clearly. Walk out of here seeing with 20/20 vision. But that's up to you. Jesus is willing to apply the mud. Are you willing to go wash? Father in heaven, help us today. Help us to desire to see more than we can see, to know more than we can physically know. Father, to hear your voice very clearly. But Father, in order for that to happen, we've got to do some things. We've got to clean some things up. We've got to get rid of some things. We've got to take care of the vision problem from our end also. So Lord, help us to do that. Help us to desire so much to see spiritual things that we're willing to do whatever it takes to get that done. That we'll do the physical things that's required to be able to see with visual eyes, with spiritual eyes. And Lord, for some and for many and maybe even for most, there's often some sin that's in our life that we're unwilling to get rid of. And even bitterness and rage and lust and those things are all sins. Anything that takes our focus off of you and puts it on ourselves is sin. So Father, help us. Inspect us. And reveal to us what is hampering our vision. What's keeping us from seeing clearly. And then Lord, as we're obedient to you, my prayer is that you would open our eyes and that we would see a vast army on our side, and that we're not alone. And Lord, for some today, it may very well be that their vision has been so blocked and so inhibited for so long that they've lost hope of ever seeing again. Lord, reassure that person today. Oh, vision can be completely restored through our obedience. And Lord, if there is someone here today that can't see spiritual things because they've never given their life and their heart to you through Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that today they would do that. They would call you Lord. They would confess your name, Jesus Christ, as Lord. Scripture says that whosoever will may come. Lord, whosoever is in this room today. So I pray, Father, that if there's someone here today, if that whosoever is here today, that you would call them. Oh, and that they would respond. Lord, it's always a calling and a response. As you call, may we respond. That response and that calling is different for each and every one of us. It looks different for each and every one of us. But Father, we all have a part to play. So Father, encourage us to play our part, to respond to your Spirit, whatever the call is, and we respond to you in Jesus' name.